Bless you. We come to that second part of the Lord's Prayer as we look last week at the beginning of this teaching of Jesus on the disciples. That is only one thing in the gospel that the disciple asked Jesus to teach them, and you must teach us how to pray. Hallowed be your name. Remember what I said to you about the name of Jesus?
Yahweh.
You cannot pronounce God's name unless you breathe in and you breathe out. Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides. Jehovah Rapha, the one who heals. Jehovah, the one who guides. He is who he is. Alpha and Omega. And so we come to the second part where Jesus says, this is how you should pray. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on here, on earth here, as it is in heaven. The God of heaven, the mailing reminders, the one who loves us. And what a blessing it was to have in that song that we love him back as we can. The God who loves us, the God we love. I want to start this message with a few, because that's the reason I've asked you, some of the cultural differences that I've noticed over the years, and probably some of you have who've traveled over the world. But in Romania, there is a custom, especially where I come from in the south, you will never blow your nose in the company of other people. I guess I don't know what you do, if you have to, you just let it drip, I don't know. But you will never blow your nose, especially if you're at a table and you eat. Never. In Japan, you never argue. It's rude to argue with someone or say no. Did you know that? You never do that. In South Korea, you never write someone's name in red. Never, ever, because that was part of the wars in before that took place, that if you write someone names in red, he was a traitor, was a spy, and so on, and many other links to that red writing names. In Greece, and there's also some tradition also in Romania, which was very much known, this custom, and made known by My Big Fat Greek Wedding. Those of you who are good fans of My Big Fat Greek Wedding, I love those movies. But as the newlyweds get married, as they come out of church, you know, here we throw confettis and stuff on them. Do you know what they do in Greece? They throw stuff. But in Greece, you know what they do? They spit on them. It's to take away, to warn off any spirits, evil spirits. And some that happens sometimes in Romania too. Isn't that right, Carolina? Am I right or not? Yes. Have you been spat on your wedding day? No. William, you will be relieved to know that she hasn't been spat on. In Malaysia, it is rude to point your finger. You never do that. And it shows us that some of the traditions and customs and values that we have in this world, in our cultures, sometimes they get assimilated into God's kingdom, into the cultures of God's. And you'll have heard many a time Jesus say, it is said, tum, 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 but I tell you, you shouldn't spit on the bride when she comes out. It is said, but I tell you differently. Jesus said, pray that your kingdom come, your will be done. Oops, I need to go back. It's waking up this thing. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The Old Testament people, the guys in the Old Testament, understood the kingdom of God in quite very elaborate image, in a beautiful image. And trying to put that together is like trying to put a jigsaw. Have you ever tried a jigsaw together? I've started recently to work on a jigsaw with a steam train and a lovely canal boat. I've been in it for weeks, and I only put a few puzzles together there. It will take me all my life, I think, to do one. I've never thought ever I'll be able to do a puzzle, but anyway, I tried, and I'm trying hard. I'll let you know when I finish, but remember, I've started it at the beginning of this year, and I'll let you know in a few years' time when it's ready. But that's what happens to the Israelites. They put pieces together to understand what the kingdom of God looks like from the promises that they had. And this is one of the things that they understood, to pray what the kingdom of God will look like when it comes on earth. That the kingdom of God, when it will come, it will meet every human need. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when the one who plows will overtake the one who reaps, when new wine will drip from the mountains and flow from all the hills. That doesn't mean that on the Nelson Street here there will be Beaujolais and Bordeaux flowing throughout out of this church, but it's a picture of abundance. This is how they understood the kingdom of God to be like. One, there will be plenty, and none will suffer from hunger. Nobody will ever go hungry again or go and ask for a pint of milk or a pint of oil or whatever it is and a slice of bread. It will be a picture that the Israelites understood, where milk and honey flow forever. Every human need, physical, spiritual need, will be met as such. Then there was this other need that you'll be met with the kingdom of God coming. He was doing away and replacing the human greed. Do you remember what he says in James chapter 4? He says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desire, the battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. Have you ever tried to put and reflect on this verse and put it with the situation of Russia against Ukraine? Where do the quarrels come among you from? The greed that I want more, the greed that I want to have, what others have. And the Israelites understood that the kingdom of God will never be like that. God will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. We pray this morning, those of you who came to the prayer meeting for Ukraine at 9:30 this morning, we pray for that peace. We pray that they will be their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. That's what the kingdom of God will look like. This is when Jesus says, pray that your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done. Because I believe God's kingdom is not yet realized, is not yet fulfilled. It's still to come, it's here, but yet it will be fulfilled and realized one day. Because God's will is not done in the kingdom, in United Kingdom. It's someone else's will that is done. And then is another aspect, that God will come through his kingdom when we pray into all human relationships. And this is how the Israelites understood that through Isaiah. That's the verse that they recited every single morning, and they pray as a blessing for over their family, alongside Psalm 103. And he will turn the hearts of the father to their children. They long for that. They long for that. No more separation, no more divorce, no more affairs, no more abuse, no more neglect, no more unloved people, unwanted children, no more pain. And Revelation says, I heard a loud voice saying, now the dwelling place of God is with man, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear. Those images of children and mums that we see on our TVs just now, those will be wiped away forever. Of the soldiers dying, innocent elderly who work all their life, and trust me, I know what it means for them in that part of the world, for a small little home to be built of mud, basically, for many of them, elderly in the countryside. That's all they work all their life, to be taken in a second like that. There'll be no more tears. because the kingdom of God will come into human relationships and human needs and will replace human greeds as such. But I want to ask a question this morning, very briefly, and I finish. Can this really be? Is it fair of God to ask us to do that, to pray His kingdom come, His will be done, knowing very well that His, you know, the values of His kingdom are not put into the practice of governments, of churches, even of families and so on, knowing very well that we don't like to do God's will ourselves, even as Christians. We like to disobey. When Jesus says the kingdom of God is near, He's not saying it's just getting close. He's saying it is now available. Jesus says, pray your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Does that mean that I can taste the kingdom of God, what it might be and look like here and now? I think so. And you know where the main place for that is, where we can come and taste that, what it should be, is this place called the church. We heard this morning as we pray in our prayer meeting for Ukraine, how pastors and churches, they ask for prayer that they will continue to be beacons of light, to be witnessing to others. We pray for pastors who stand firm in the midst of this war atrocities. Your kingdom come, even in the midst of bombing, of Russian bombing. Your will be done. That's what the pastors in Ukraine are praying. Your will be done in this horrible thing that happens to us. Can this happen here today and now, knowing the wars and conflicts have been throughout? If the Old Testament understood the kingdom of God in those kind of images, I wonder what did Jesus say to us? Two things I want to share with you. One is this. You have heard that He was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Who said that? Who said it? It was a custom. It was a Greek custom. That's not what the scripture said. That's what the custom says. That's what you say. But I tell you, Jesus says, love your enemies and pray for those who pray. This is not right, is it? Love your enemies. Love Putin. Love the Russian army. Pray for them. This is countercultural. This is not the United Kingdom values. It's heavenly kingdom values. Very challenging at this time to do that, isn't it? Very challenging for me to say from the pulpit that Jesus urges me to love Putin and the Russian army who march on regardless, killing people in Ukraine. Our culture, Rick Warren said, has accepted two huge lies. The first is that if you disagree with someone's lifestyle, you must fear or hate them. The second is that to love someone means you agree with everything they believe or do. Both are nonsense, Rick Warren says. You don't have to compromise convictions to be compassionate. To be compassionate. And remember what I said to you last week, the pastors in Ukraine, they ask us to pray that they'll continue to love, to make disciples. That they will become those disciples who will continue to make disciples. What a powerful testimony that is to us here. They understood what the kingdom of God looks like when we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth. They understood the power of that teaching from Jesus Christ. And another thing that I wanted to share with you, you have heard that you were said to people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Anger? Where shall I start? Where shall I start? On anger. And then look what he says, the next verse. It says this, again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, raka, idiot, you silly, stupid boy. That's what it means, basically. It's answerable to the court. And anyone who says, you fool, how many of you have called some other people fool, or you've been called fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Your kingdom come, your will be done. So how will this kingdom come on earth? Amazingly enough, it starts with, hallowed be thy name. Our Father, our Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name. It starts with prayer. It always starts with prayer. It will always end with prayer. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. There are three requests in this prayer. Well, let me share that verse with you. To this you were called, in 1 Peter it says, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. You silly boys, you don't know what you're doing, do you? When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. We pray for Putin this morning in our prayer meeting. We put him into God's hands, that he will meet with him, that the Lord will change him. We've seen that in Moses. We've seen that in Joshua praying for pharaohs, for kings. We've seen in Daniel praying for Nebuchadnezzar. Your kingdom come, because your kingdom is going to be taken away, I tell you. And his kingdom will replace your kingdom straight away. Your kingdom come. That's what we need to pray in this very, very unsettling times. There are three requests here. It starts always with those petitions. Your name be hallowed. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. And then the rest of the prayers you will see from next week has four petitions that are about us. The first three are about God. The first four, the following four are about us. Give us. Forgive us, lead us not, and deliver us. And deliver us. And that's what we're going to look at in the days to come. What would it mean for the kingdom of God, or God to come, for God's will to be done in your life? What would it be for the kingdom of God to be seen at work, as we heard from Mei Ling in Australia, in the office there, where she is in the GP office? In Australia, what will be the kingdom of God to be seen in university? What will be the kingdom of God to be prayed in our families, in our relationships? What would it look like for his life, for his will to be done in my life and in all my relationships? God, your kingdom come in my life. May your kingdom come here in our church, in Lancaster, in our schools, in our families, in our children, in our fellowship, in all that we do. May your kingdom come and your will be done. Because his will is not done. It's not done. One of the saddest things, and I'm going to close with, that I can imagine would be if God were to come here one morning. We know that he is not here, he is already. But in person and say this to us, the saddest thing will ever be, the words that I will never want to hear as a pastor will be this. You know, you did a fantastic job. You did a lot as a witness, as a fellowship. You had a lot of programs and you care for the children, a lot of services. You've got a lovely building that you built here. Actually, we inherit, we haven't built it. You were real kingdom builders, but you forgot one thing. You forgot to be kingdom prayers, to pray, not just to. There's no weapon that we've got more dangerous against the atrocities of this world than the prayer. I don't think Jesus left us a list of things to do, but just to pray and how to pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done. It's about his will in our lives and his purposes to be fulfilled in our walk with him. It's not about doing things, I'm sorry. those have a purpose in themselves, but they must lead to the final, ultimate purpose of glorifying Him, even to our sufferings. We're going to sing a little song, O Lord, the clouds are gathering, and I'll pray through this song.